Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Austin's 95.9 Texas Country. Eric Raines, honored to have Charlie Worship in studio.
Eric, it's so good to be here with you. And I love this city. I love y'all's station.
And appreciate that.
I'm looking out at the vista here and seeing the Austin skyline, and so glad I get two nights here.
You have two nights. We'll talk about it because you got a big show coming up Thursday night. You'll be out with Dirks, which you've been for a while. But you're also, and I saw online that you were doing some more Charlie Worsham solo shows, and you got new music about to come out. Is this right?
Yeah, I do. I got to figure out how to get it out, but right. I at least have it to the point where all but one or two songs are mixed.
Right.
And I'll remind me, I need to send you a Dropbox link because I'm right there. I just realized a couple years ago, hey, I don't really have to do anything till 6 or 7 at night. What am I doing with my day? And so I sat and started thinking, well, I'd love to practice more. So last summer it was practice more mandolin. You know, I want to get out and see the cities more. And so I'll be doing that while I'm here. But then I thought, why not do a lunchtime acoustic set somewhere? And we're just throwing stuff at the wall, but it's starting to stick.
Well, let's take it back for people that don't know the Charlie, where I became a fan of, and of course our friend Rita Ballou was the first one to go, have you found this Charlie Worsham kid yet? And she called you Banjo Boy.
Yes, she did.
And she got me started on your music because it was all on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you probably outlived all of the YouTube shows before TikTok was a thing and people were becoming viral. You were becoming right. viral because you would write a song and it was a 24-hour challenge.
Yeah.
And you had to play every instrument on it.
Mm-hmm. Those cover challenges. And I still do a version of that now. Actually just covered a Sabrina Carpenter song because I was opening some shows for Megan Maroney, and I thought to myself, I'm going to do one cover, but I want to make sure it's something that her audience loves. And it went over really well. I posted my cover challenge of it the day of the first show with her. And
explain the cover challenge.
Yeah, the idea. So I've always been a sort of studio nerd, and I have a rig at my house, and I've been recording at home since I was a teenager. And so I'll pick a fun song to cover that I can reimagine in the styles that I grew up playing, whether it's Southern rock or bluegrass, country, you know, a little bit of blues in there. And create my own version of a popular song, video the process, and try to get it done within 24 hours, posted, you know, here. And so that led to me doing Crazy Train on a 5-string banjo, and most recently, Please, Please, Please by Sabrina Carpenter with mandolins and banjos. And
so you're still doing those?
Not as often, right. Not as much, but yes.
Well, you're busy like crazy.
Got a lot going on.
Yeah.
But I still, I mean, when I have free time, that's the thing I love to do is stay creative. My music is my hobby in addition to being what I do for a living.
Well, I guess the first video I ever saw you was a 12-year-old Grand Ole Opry debut.
Yeah.
And you've come a long way since 12 years old getting a chance to do the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
And now that's probably like second or third home for you.
You know what I love is we live in East Nashville and the Opry House is like right across the Cumberland River. I mean, you kind of have to still drive a ways to get there, but I love the Opry family, and I'm grateful that, you know, they still call me often to go play, and it's just a wild thing to sort of have supper with the family and be like, all right, I'm going to go, daddy's going to go play a show, and then get home right after they're asleep. And, but it's the Grand Ole Opry you're playing. And, it's great, man. That's one of those things that never gets old.
I was about to say, having played it as much, having been around the world playing with all the different artists, playing on different albums that you have, do you still get as geeked out as I would think? I've never played the Opry. It's still, for me, a bucket list. And for a lot of musicians and artists, it is the pinnacle of a list, maybe.
Right.
Do you still get that vibe when you walk in there?
Oh, big time. Because what it really is, it's the, I call the Opry stage the front parlor of country music. I mean, it's where we invite guests and neighbors to come sit, and we'll entertain them. And the best part of that front parlor is when you walk backstage, it's the family reunion. I mean, you're seeing, you know, I was fortunate to spend a lot of 2019 on the road in two separate bands. I don't know how this worked out, but Ketch Secor from Old Crow Medicine Show reached out and asked if I wanted to join Old Crow for a year, which I did. And about a week later, Vince Gill called and said, you want to be in my band for the year? I'm like, well, you're my all-time hero, yes. And then I go, oh no, I committed to Old Crow. And so we compared notes on the schedules, and there was only one weekend that overlapped. So I did both. Wow. But when I go to the Opry, it's the one place I'm most likely to see Vince and the Old Crow guys and seven or eight of my other friends, because we're all out playing shows and we rarely see each other. So it is a bit of a reunion every time.
Well, you've had record deals of your own, major record label deals. King Billy, you've been a part of that.
Yeah.
Just playing on and off in Nashville. For a songwriter, I often ask them, would they rather have a song that they wrote be a hit, or somebody record one of their songs and be a hit? For you, you've played with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Off the Air. You've been a part of 15 number one hits where you were playing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still get as jazzed when you hear a song and you're like, just in the back of your mind, that's me on that right there?
I do. I mean, look, we were driving in and heard one of my songs on one of y'all stations on the way in on Magic 95.5. It was awesome. And yeah, that feeling never gets old. And what excites me, though, more now than anything is when something's just really good. You know, like I love hearing it on the radio, but I was recently in the studio for what's going to be Ella Langley's next record. And, you know, there's such a privilege to being in a session player role, because you're one of the first people to hear these things. And it might turn into a multi-week number one or song of the year, but it might not. It might just be an album cut or whatever. But either way, you're being trusted to hear it first. You're being trusted to have a little bit of a say in what direction it goes. And those are my favorite stories to tell.
Well, you just gave me one because you said, hey, man, I'm going to Dropbox you. That there is no greater joy for a beat-up jock for an artist to walk in and go, hey, man, I wanted to share those with you. All the way around for me, I find joy in that the same way you are trusted to get to hear that the first time.
It's the stories, man. And, you know, I grew up in Mississippi, and I'm actually doing a podcast right now about how Mississippi is the birthplace of America's music. And it's been fun for me because I've been a lifelong fan of and student of Mississippi music history. But so we're natural born storytellers. I get that from being born in Mississippi, no doubt. But in country music, that's the thing, right? It's the telling of stories. And there's, even just on this record I'm getting ready to put out in the world, there are some songs on there I didn't write. And one of them is a song that was written by Walker Hayes before he was Walker
Fancy
Hayes. When he was like working the graveyard shift at FedEx or UPS or whatever, and like, you know, dragging himself to the Bluebird to try to stay awake long enough to play around and just trying to get arrested in Nashville, you know, for that matter, at the time. But this song called Good Hurt that he wrote 15, 16 years ago, it was almost cut by Keith Urban at some point, kind of like House That Built Me has that story attached to it. And now it's the song I get to sing.
Wow.
And, you know, that's what I think really brings young dreamers to Nashville and keeps them going, really more than anything else. I mean, you do need some kind of success along the way to keep you going and pay your bills. But, man, that magic right there and the living of great stories unfolding is really what it's all about.
When you're a session player or sideman and you're getting those songs and you said you get trusted with them first, you get to hear some of the biggest hits before anybody in the world gets. It's got to be an incredible feeling, as you pointed out.
Yeah,
as well.
It's pretty wild. I mean, for me, one of the more recent ones was being a part of Lainey Wilson's Bell Bottom Country album. And, you know, they're like, all right, we're going to cut this one next. Watermelon Moonshine. I'm like, okay.
What did you play on that?
That first acoustic you hear strumming.
That's you.
That's me. Yeah.
Wow.
But my favorite on that record, my favorite part I played is on Grease. Now You're Cooking with Grease. Yeah. It was never a single, but just
sure.
a funky tune.
I've heard it play live many times.
Yeah, it's so fun. And I got to play the electric solo on there. And one of my favorite electric players, Rob McNally, was also in the band. And of course, we're working with Jay Joyce, and I made a project of my own with Jay and love Jay. Jay was the first big producer to bring me in on a record. The first number one I played on was Like Jesus Does for Eric Church. So I've known Jay for a long time. I've always been a huge fan of Laney. You know, we're both southeastern Mississippi, Louisiana is almost the same thing. Those birds don't know state lines. They just fly where they fly. The bottom, the delta, the riverlands.
You keep saying things,
you know?
I need to write down. That's a song too right there.
But yeah, and so, you know, here we are in this, you know, something like Grease is getting played and Jay's like, well, let's try that. And so I just get, and there's one of my favorite guitar players, Rob McNally, who could totally have played that solo, but it got to be me. And that was awesome. That was a great little moment.
That is a great moment. Well, you brought a guitar in here.
Yeah.
You mind playing one for us?
I would love to. So what I've been doing for these lunchtime acoustic sets, there's a song on this record called Whiskey Sippy.
Whiskey Sippy.
Whiskey Sippy.
Ooh, I already like that.
It's a fun rocking number, and I figured I would call my lunchtime sets the Whiskey Sippy Lunch Hour. And the way this all started...
The Whiskey Sippy Lunch Hour.
Yeah. There's this amazing, for anybody listening that's planning a trip to Nashville, make time in your trip to go to Brown's Diner. It was a trolley car in the 1880s. The trolley car is still there. The building got built around it. It's like one of the oldest institutions in Nashville. Classic dive bar kind of place. But they actually have really good food. I want to say John Prine played his last show on this earth at Brown's. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right on that. And it's an awesome place. And, you know, with young kids, I was looking for a way to keep my chops playing acoustic gigs because I was getting ready to go to Europe to play the C2C stuff. And but I have young kids, so I'm like, how do I play a gig in town and not take away from family time? I'm like, easy. Book a lunchtime gig while our son's in school in pre-K. So the Whiskey Sippy Lunch Hour was born at Brown's. And then when we started looking at Dirks's tour schedule, I thought, well, I can take this on the road. So that's what I'm doing. Starting with Lucchese in Fort Worth in a couple days and the Guitar House of Tulsa in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is going to be dangerous because it'll be hard for me not to walk out of there with a new instrument. But
and today, 95.9 Texas Country.
Yes. So this is the inaugural... Over the airwaves, Whiskey Sippy Lunch Hour. Maybe I should play Whiskey Sippy, but you told me to cry you a river, said good luck moving on. I'm getting you out of my system with a bottle and a lonely song on a jukebox in a dive bar. From a Marlboro burnt bar stool. The more I drink, the more I think. Girl, I don't need you. I need a shot glass with no end. All of my hanged up brighter friends tonight. I need a blue-eyed Delta Dawn. A two-step and turn me on in the neon light. I'll be sipping through your memory. Whiskey sippy runs dry. It ain't like I'm no better, just better at numbing this pain. If moving on takes forever, I think I found the place to hang around. Knock 'em down if I'm ever gonna drown you out. I need a shot glass with no end. All of my hanged up proud of friends tonight. I need a blue-eyed Delta Dawn. Two-step and turn me on in the neon light. I'll be sipping through your memory till this whole damn whiskey sip it runs dry. sippy, three whiskey sippy, y'all. That ain't gonna do. One whiskey sippy, two whiskey sippy, three whiskey sippy, y'all. I need a shot glass, pour it again. All of my hankered brown friends and I. I need a blue eyed Delta Dawn to two step and turn me on in the neon light. I'll be sipping through your memory till this whole damn whiskey sip it runs dry.
Yeah. Charlie Warshaw.
Hey, thank you.
That's good stuff. Man, thank I love to you. I love to hear you sing and play. I find a lot of joy, and I sense it when you're playing your instrument.
Thank you. I do love it. I love it maybe more than ever. It's I think what it is, the older I get, the more I realize, you know, you only get so many notes to play in your life, so you got to make them count.
Yeah.
And hold on to each one. And I've been so privileged to get to almost always be... You know, I think about these next couple nights playing in Dirks' band. I mean, some of my favorite pickers are the guys in that band, playing in Vince Gill's band. I mean, he's my literal hero. And, like, my favorite thing about being on the road with Vince was always that soundcheck was basically a matinee. I mean, we would play till they forced us. Like, hey, guys, they're opening doors. You have to stop.
Just sitting up there cutting heads?
Just, yeah. And so just to get to be around people who elevate.
What did you learn from Vince the most, being on stage with him?
Well, that every note counts is definitely something that seed was kind of planted watching him, because he's in a different stage of his life where he recognizes, you know, I don't get to do this forever, man. My body at some point is going to stop. And
yeah,
so he cherishes every note. And I learned so much from Vince. Actually, he passed on in some great wisdom that was given to him. I forget the original person who told him this, but they basically said, never be the best musician in your band. Because if you're constantly putting yourself in a situation where you're surrounded by better players, you're always going to have something to learn. You know, it's always going to make you stand a little taller. And I've been fortunate that I'm almost always able to do that, which is a really cool thing.
That's great advice as well. Getting nominated in the category, was it ACM or CMA? Artist
of the Year. You know, during the COVID times, I won my first ACM for Acoustic Guitar Player of the Year, and that was crazy. I was actually playing the Opry when they surprised me and told me I'd won. But the one that just absolutely slayed me was last November at the CMAs. I won Musician of the Year. And the thing about that award in particular, and the way in particular that they deliver it, is you're on the floor with all the big stars. It's during the telecast. The only difference between my award and accepting it and Stapleton winning whatever awards he won that night,
his next
was
one,
that his acceptance speech was televised. Mine was during a commercial break, but I was on the same microphone, holding the same trophy, and in front of the same audience. And what meant so much to me was I could feel when they announced that I won, total out-of-body experience, total dream come true I've been dreaming about since I was nine, watching that show on TV as a kid. But I could feel the room just hit me with a tidal wave of love. And I felt so many things in my life story up to that point just get instantly reconciled. The best part being I got to stand on that stage and thank the people who gifted me so much in this business all those years, trusting me with their art and letting me be a part of the story of country music. It's just crazy.
A little affirmation maybe?
Big time affirmation.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy. You know, that imposter syndrome at least died down for a couple months, thankfully.
Well, I told you off the air, I never played guitar, but I recognize a great guitar player. And the fact that it was the Brent Mason Award forever.
Sure.
And to get that same award.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Chet Atkins won that award.
Right.
You know,
he was a CGP, man.
Yeah.
And if he were still alive, you know, I don't know. Come
crazy.
On, Charlie.
Yeah. I don't know. I will say this about that award. Paul Franklin, who, if you know steel guitar, you know Paul Franklin. He plays with Stapleton now. He's played on a zillion hits for everybody from George Strait to Vince to Stapleton, you name it. He was Vince's guy forever and ever. But Paul's been nominated for that award between 30 and 40 times since 1989 and never won it. And that blows my mind. That man deserves a dadgum CMA right there. Paul Franklin is a GOAT, you know. So, Paul, maybe this is your year, man. You're getting my vote.
You played with Paul Franklin before?
I did. So, Paul was in the band that year I played with Vince. And I see Paul every once in a while on sessions, you know, playing on records and stuff.
Played with Jerry Douglas before?
I've done a little bit with Jerry, yeah.
Those are the kind of players I just sit back and go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And now it's Charlie Worsham right in front of me.
It's crazy, man.
It really is. You are a talented player, singer, songwriter, all that goes into it. Talk about, I mean, the gig is tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I love Dierks. You know, talk about somebody I've learned so much from. I mean, Dierks doesn't take himself too seriously, but he does take what he does seriously, and he treats everyone with such respect. I mean, he honors us guys in the band. I mean, me doing stuff like this and pursuing my own dream, he's only helped me, you know, and I don't know anybody else who would be so supportive in that way. He honors us as dads. He tries to get us out the door as late as possible, back home as early as possible to be with our families. But he believes in having fun. I mean, the Hot Country Nights, right? That's the last 15 minutes of the show. And it's a genius plan, because no matter how hard the show might be, you know, for whatever reason that night, you're tired, just not clicking or whatever, you know, at a Dierks Bentley show, the last 15 minutes, you're going to have a wig on, you're going to be playing 90s country and jumping around like a dadgum fool, acting like your 12-year-old self. You cannot have a bad show with Dierks Bentley. It's just impossible. And I just think that's genius. And I love, he's always cut great songs. He's written some great songs. And he puts the band forward and instrumentation and stuff forward. And we got a great lineup this year, too. Band Lula, Zach Top. It's going to be a fun summer, and Austin is the perfect place to kick off the Broken Branches tour.
The other part is he's always leaned back into some bluegrass.
Oh,
you know,
dude.
With a bluegrass album as well. And I know you, if Charlie could do a little bit, he probably would lean into that sometimes as well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. For a couple years there, we actually created yet another alter ego band called Long John, and we would play a regular gig at Station Inn just playing bluegrass tunes. And I'm still itching for Dierks to go back and make Up on the Ridge Part 2.
Which was one of the greatest albums put out. I mean,
so good.
Country radio didn't play a lot of it, but the people that really understood country music loved that album and loved Dierks for doing it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I appreciated it because I still listen to it. And I still play it as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of playing, I know you... Do you have sound check today? What time do you got to go roll in to do that?
We don't have to worry about sound check today. I mean, the amazing crew.
Do you even do sound check anymore?
We don't often do sound check to be fully, you know, transparent.
I love that. You just walk in and there it is.
I mean, we get together in the dressing room. We talk.
You don't have to load the bus anymore.
But
the trailer.
I'm a privileged dude. I don't have to tune my guitars. I don't have to load gear. You know, I've got it very easy. I get to enjoy Austin all day long.
That's incredible.
Is awesome. But
well, you probably spend a few days loading the trailer, probably paying the band more than you made that night because you were trying to keep a band together.
Sure.
And understanding that if you keep the good players, you got to pay them.
Yes.
And there were probably many nights where you were doing all of the legwork. So to get to a point where you can do it this well. Good job.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. No doubt.
Play us something else. Is this something from the upcoming project?
Yeah, I'd love to. I do have a more of a ballad, but I can play something rocking too. You got a preference?
Nah, play me what you want to hear.
All right, let's see here. Higher mountains, greener pastures, ain't that what younger hearts go chasing after? Rope and rainbows is all you know, till you find out there's a better pot of gold. You look at your life, really look at your life. Look at your wife and you look at your kids. Tell them goodnight and you tuck them in tight. Send up a prayer and you give them a kiss. And you sit on a porch and you stare at the stars, thanking the Lord she's there in your arms. And you understand, you never loved nothing like family, man. Now there are days I come unraveled, pause for a minute, pulling down that driveway gravel. Take a breath, feel the wind blow, and get caught up in the heaven happening through that kitchen window. Oh, you look at your life, really look at your life. Look at your wife and you look at your kids. Tell them goodnight and you tuck them in tight. You send up a prayer and you give them a kiss. And you sit on a porch and you stare at the stars, thanking the Lord she's there in your arms. And you understand, you never loved nothing like family, man. One day you'll look at your life, really look at your life. Look at your wife, both missing your kids, wishing tonight you could tuck them in tight, like the 10 million times the two of you did. And you sit on a porch and you stare at the stars, thanking the Lord with a break in your heart. And you understand, you never loved nothing like family, man. Never loved nothing like family, man.
Woo, that's good. Charlie Horsham, is that called Family Man?
Family Man, that's it.
Did you write that?
I did not write that. Can you believe it?
Well, I only asked because it felt like it was in the right spot for you right now.
Yeah, you know, that's something too. I love writing songs. I'm in a stage of my life where I'm sort of in the, I'm in between the Old Testament and the New Testament of my life as
that's
a songwriter.
Fair. That's fair.
And I'm in the middle of raising kids and I'm getting the input, but it's going to take me some time before I can catch up as a writer.
Was it hard for you at one time to like, I didn't write that song, but I'm going to record it?
Yes, that was a journey for me. You can see it from my full discography. Anything you can find of me recorded material tells that story. You know, the first record I put out on Warner Rubber Band, I was a writer on everything. I was a co-producer, and you mean I would stay up at the studio. I remember I spent the night one night at the studio so I could comp my own vocal, which was not a good idea. And then I kind of a little bit overcorrected. You know, my next record I had so much fun and I'm so proud of, a record called Beginning of Things, but I started cutting outside songs. But I only cut outside songs that were like quirky that could not have been a single. You know, kind of on purpose. It was subconscious, right? It was like, okay, sure, I'll cut outside songs. But when they would pitch me an outside song that I knew might be a single, I'd be like, I don't like that. And now I know that's what subconsciously I was doing in my own mind. But then, you know, this record I'm working on, I have just a great champion in my publisher. And he just knows me really well, knows me as a musician, knows me as a guy who wants to stand in the spotlight and does some nights, a guy who is often a collaborator from behind the scenes, and he knows me as a dad, and he knows me as a husband, and we sat down about 2 years ago in his office, and he started playing me songs, and he said, look, I love you as a songwriter. I know where you are in life. You're not going to be able to write everything. Here are some songs I found. And he played me Family Man. He played me that Walker Hayes song, Good Hurt, and like 30 seconds in, I'm just ugly crying.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Nashville and country music. I mean, I think about here we are in Austin, a town that has deep ties to Willie Nelson. If Willie Nelson, one of the great songwriters of all time, can often cut outside songs, then what's my problem? You know, yeah. I mean, what a gift it is to be in a city like Nashville and in a music community like that, where any day you can just dip your bucket into that well and pull out pure genius and be a part of it. So
I would think, though, for some... And you call yourself a gearhead nerd.
Yeah.
And songwriter.
Yeah.
All of that, that it might be hard. And I've heard that from other artists, that it's hard to accept that because you want everything that you write to be the hit or to be that song that does it for you, that puts you in that spotlight. So to let something else come in, is that maturity? Is that understanding the business more or understanding your time?
Yeah, I think it's all of it. It's knowing yourself and it's letting go of things that don't serve you. You know, I think for me it was an ego thing. It was, you know, I think often when our industry does the things it sometimes does, that when you're a fan looking at it from afar, you go, that's so dumb. It's usually because of the phenomenon of making decisions out of fear. The industry makes its worst decisions when it's choosing out of fear, out of an idea of scarcity. Well, if I don't have that, if they get that hit and I don't, then they get something that, you know, it's a zero-sum game. That's almost always untrue. It's, you know, yes, the chart has limited spots. Yes, there's limited hours in the day you can play songs, and you want to be one of those songs. But all boats rise on the tide. I mean, me being in Dirks' band, is he gives me a moment every night in the show where I get featured. He tells his fans, you know, check out Charlie. He's got records. So it's been a way of me having to let go of certain fear-based thinking that allows me to partake in the magic of our industry on a deeper level.
I would think, though, now that you have become Musician of the Year.
That takes some pressure off.
You can probably, I'm sure you're getting the A-team calls on a daily basis, and you're getting these hits that people want you to play on, and you can sing, clearly. Mm-hmm. You can sing harmony. You can do that. It takes a little bit of the pressure off of you.
Yeah.
With the affirmation part as well. You talked about the ACMs and the CMAs and standing and getting your peers. And that's probably for a brand new artist. That's all you want is affirmation from the people that you're standing in front of. It's like the first time you ever see somebody clap for you in the fifth grade. You're like, I want that again.
Yeah.
And you want that hit.
Sure.
But when your peers show you the love that they've showed you and you still get to do that.
Yeah.
It's come a long way.
I have found respect is quite a currency. Yeah. Like respect feels pretty dang good.
That's well said.
I am okay being content with the hunger that I have. You know, it's a good driving force for me. I'm definitely hungry for certain accolades still, milestones. But, you know, in the meantime, if I go back and say to my 12-year-old self, like, what do you want to do? Well, I want to play music all the time at a high level with people that challenge me to be better. Well, check. I get to do that, right? You know, and like, and I make a good living doing it. Yeah. So, you know, the rest is kind of gravy. I'm still going to aim for it, but
when I first met you, you were single and just an incredible person, first of all, that I thought away from music and song. Just thought, outside looking at it, I was like, Charlie Worsham is a cool guy. Oh. Now you got family. How old are the kids?
We got a 4-year-old son named Gabe and a 7-month-old daughter named Harper. Gabe just finished his first year of pre-K.
Let's go, Gabe.
It's awesome. You know, he's into dinosaurs and monster trucks and the Rolling Stones.
And the perspective has to change a little bit, I would think. I mean, being a dad of 18 going on 19 and a 20 going on 40, mm-hmm. all my perspectives have changed. I would think even as a musician, because now you are on the road. You are away from that family, and that probably is tough, and you've had to watch that happen too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never, because there are also long days at home, and my amazing wife Kristen is such a champ, and you know that is such an underrated thing for stay-at-home parents who are in that slog every day. But you know, I'll get home. I've never been more excited to get home from the road than I have been in the last couple of years at the end of every run. There's a small part of me that's never been more excited to get back on the road so I can catch up on sleep. I never thought I'd say that, but I'm in the time of my life where like I actually go on the road and get more sleep, and then I'm rested. And once I get that first good night of sleep, I'm like, man, I miss my family. Can't wait to get home. And then I'm home, and the cycle begins again.
So the tour starts tomorrow. How long will you be out? Is this like a...
You know, we're pretty fortunate. It's usually 3 days, four days, you know, weekend warrior style. There's a couple weekends coming up, I think, in a month or so where we're on the West Coast, and it might be like 2 weeks away. But I'm very fortunate. I don't miss... For as much as I am out playing music, I don't miss a lot of family time, considering. So I'm grateful for that.
And you got that okay up-and-comer, Zach Topp.
Dude, I tell you, one of my things, there's a great old record, Skaggs and Rice. So Ricky Skaggs and Tony Rice made, just the two of them. And I have this dream I'm trying to manifest of like bringing mics into the dressing room and be like, all right, Zach.
Yeah.
You know, doing like some flat picking stuff. So who knows?
Have you got picked with Billy Strings yet?
You know, it's funny. Billy and Dirks cut a song I co-wrote called High Note off of Dirks' last record. And Billy was there at Station Inn. We shot a music video. That's the most I've interacted with Billy, but I'm a big fan of his.
Here's what I love. I love any artist that can play.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, and I'm not going to say anything about the business, but there's some manufactured artists. And,
sure.
And I want them to be able, so when I find like a Vince or a Steve Warner or, you know, even
Marty Stewart, man.
Oh, big time.
Stapleton's that way.
And tools of the trade. I mean, you got to do some of that with those guys. And to see Zach Top. And when he came in, I like his song. I just wanted to hear him play.
Yeah.
Because I know he's a grasser as well.
Yeah.
And we'll just sit down and burn up a guitar.
Yeah.
So that part of it, yeah. I can see you wanting to get in a room with those guys and get the instruments out.
Well, he's got the bluegrass gene, you know? I mean, that's such a fun, it's perfect for those 10 hours you have of free time before the show when you're backstage. You can just grab a acoustic and a mandolin and start calling out old standards and kill a bunch of hours that way.
You don't have to give anything away. Is there a chance that there's a collaboration with Zach and Dierks? And
that's a great question. You know, I did get to do a really fun collab with Dierks on a project from 2 years ago called Compadres, and y'all played one of those songs when we were driving in. But Zach is on my short list for Compadres Volume 2, for sure.
All right.
And we have, I'm not at liberty completely,
but he's got
some Mississippi connections that are real close to my Mississippi roots as well.
All right,
so
I think
I got an in.
And he's working on a new album, so that's fair enough. I can read between the lines there. Before you leave, would you honor me with one more song?
I'd love to. This feels like
just an interview just for me.
I would love to. Now, do you have a request? I mean, it doesn't have to be one of these new ones. It can be something old.
I whatever you want to play, man.
Okay. Since we met, the gear's been turning. I'm saving every dollar I'm earning to put it down on a pawn shop ring, tie some cans to a C10 limousine. Hey, baby, if you like the notion, let's put the plan in motion. You and me and a fixer up. Hound dog howling in the yard. Drinking wine from a Dixie cup, wishing on a Southern Star. Grand Ole Opry on the radio, half acre on the edge of town. Yeah, that sound like something I could wrap my porch around. One name on the mailbox, two in the tree. Stars and stripes waving in the breeze. Handpicked Daisy in your hair. Hot mama looks pretty in a rocking chair. Gonna steal another kiss when the sun goes down. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you and me and a fixer up. Hound dog howling in the yard. Drinking wine from a Dixie cup. Wishing on a Southern Star. Grand Ole Opry on the radio. Half acre on the edge of town. Yeah. That sound like something I can wrap my porch around, Lord, Lord. Make a little magic in the bedroom. Might have to paint the guest room blue or pink. Lord, say, baby, now what you think about you and me and a fixer up? Hound dog howling in the yard. Drinking wine from a Dixie cup, wishing on a Southern Star. Grand Ole Opry on the radio, half acre on the edge of town. Yeah, that sound like something I can wrap my porch around. Lord, baby, that sound like something I can wrap my porch around.
Yeah. That's good stuff there.
Hey, thank you.
Charlie Worsham live at our 95.9 Texas Country Studios. Today is our one-year birthday anniversary.
Happy birthday.
Of the station, and nothing can make the birthday better. When Ray Vaughn said, hey, Dierks Bentley's playing in town, Charlie, would you mind? I was like, please. I've wanted you to come hang out in the studio with us forever. I'm a massive fan of yours.
Well, I felt that love, and I'm grateful for it. As C.S. Lewis would say, the longest way around is the shortest way home. Here we are.
Love it, love it, love it. When you get that Dropbox, I'd love to hear all that new music.
I'm going to send it to you right after
we go off the air here.
And you know when it's official to play it, we'll get it on the air. But
thank you.
Not a second between. Best of luck out on the road with
thank
Dirks
you.
On that. What's the tour called again?
The Broken Branches Tour. As a matter of fact, I played on the title track for this record, and I love it because they got one of the newest inductees in the Country Music Hall of Fame to be a feature on it, John Anderson. He sings. It's Riley Green and John Anderson and Dirks singing The Broken Branches. And it's just about how all the misfits of the family tree end up having a lot of fun in life.
Well, man, I truly, again, I appreciate it. You are one of the good ones in this industry.
Thank you.
And best of luck.
Thank
and
you,
I mean, how many? You got 2 days out on this one, 3 days out and back home? Go
yeah,
home?
2 days here in Austin. Going to hit up Dallas. I'm going to go by the Lucchese Bootmaker store on Exchange Street with a bottle of Dirks' whiskey, which you can offer free samples in Texas. Thank you,
hey,
Texas. I'll be in Fort Worth there at noontime at Lucchese. And then Saturday at Guitar House of Tulsa in Tulsa, ahead of Dirks' show Saturday night in Tulsa. So.
And that's the, what's it called again, the whiskey?
Whiskey Sippy Lunch Hour.
Whiskey Sippy Lunch Hour. Well, thanks for kicking the Whiskey Sippy Lunch Hour off right here for 95.9 Texas Country. Thanks again. The great Charlie Worsham. Good job, man.
Thanks, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.